Welcome back to the Coaches Rising podcast. Today I'm joined by Kyle Dietrich, and we're going to be exploring the initiative that he co-founded after the enormous wave of federal layoffs in early 25. He created a collective of coaches who coached public servants and social sector professionals to help find their way forward. And I find it a really inspiring movement, a way that the coaching industry is adapting to the times that we find ourselves in. So Kyle Dietrich is the founder of Grounded Idealist and the co-organizer of the Coaching Collaborative, which is this global initiative mobilizing thousands of credentialed coaches to support tens of thousands of public servants navigating job displacement and transition. Kyle is a certified empowerment facilitator and trauma-informed leadership coach. He's got more than 25 years of experience leading large-scale peace-building and humanitarian assistance programs in complex contexts, including Haiti, Niger, Turkmenistan, and Burundi. And he served as the training and leading director of USAID's Bureau for Humanitarian Assistance until early 2025. Let's dive in. Here's the podcast with Kyle Dietrich. I don't have to tell you that these are turbulent times. They're astonishing times. Many people are feeling deeply challenged, more reactive, and my sense is in more need of coaching than ever. And while these times are full of challenges, they're also ripe with evolutionary potential. This is the gift of these times. And I think it's these moments that coaches are built for, so we can help our clients unlock the deeper capacities and intelligence that's required of them now. And that's exactly what our newest program, Unlocking Leaders, is all about. You'll learn how to work at the source code of change, beyond strategy, beyond protocol, at the level of consciousness itself. This, for me, has been by far the biggest leverage I have with my clients. It's the most potent move I can make, because the level of consciousness a leader is operating from determines everything. What they notice, what they miss, whether they react defensively, stay grounded, whether they tighten in control or open into creativity and collaborativity, and ultimately what becomes possible in how they lead. And when you work at this level, you'll be able to tap into these hidden drivers behind decisions and behaviors and unlock possibilities in situations that once felt stuck. And beyond that, importantly, you're going to cultivate a capacity that AI will never possess. As AI expands and begins to dominate procedural and operational coaching, as it grows, it's becoming clearer what it cannot do. And it can't feel, it can't connect in the same way when two human beings come together and the field that they create becomes part of the transformational conversation. It can't work with consciousness, the very source of transformation and the source of the most powerful coaching moves. This is what separates good coaches from great coaches working at this level. And AI can't touch this. So if you're interested to find out more about this program, if you feel called to join us, then head to coachesrising.com/leaders to book your spot. The first class is June 16th with Jim Dethmer, just an incredible, masterful coach. And he's joined by Bob Anderson, also a true pioneer in the field of conscious leadership and coaching. And if you sign up by May 29th, you can get the early bird discount. Enrollment is open until June 12th. So head to coachesrising.com/leaders to book your spot. Kyle, so yeah, really good to be with you today. And I'm really excited to actually share what you've been creating with the world, because I think it's really beautiful. First of all, let me ask how you're doing.
It is so good to be with you and to have come to know you through our work, and the work that you've built for years has been deeply influential to me in my own journey as a coach. Yeah, in this moment, I'm doing really well. I feel very rooted in possibility is how I would say it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful place to be considering everything's unfolding. And I think that's one of the invitations perhaps being made. I was thinking about the work of coaches in our times, and I've got some thoughts about that. So I'll hold that thought and because I will get into this, I think. Yeah, I'd love for you just to begin to tell your story. You have a company, The Grounded Idealist, and you've created the coaching collaborative, and I think that's a really beautiful initiative. Could you tell us what that is and the story that led to its creation?
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Joe. I'm a coach. I'm a leadership coach and a trauma-informed coach. My primary role for the past 25 years has really been centered around international development and humanitarian assistance. And so mostly an implementer of programs around the world, a lot of them focused on peace and conflict. Most recently, I was working at USAID, US Agency for International Development, and was leading the training and learning team for the Bureau for Humanitarian Assistance. And so earlier this year, with the new administration, there have been lots of changes, lots of cuts in particular to certain agencies, including USAID. And so when I was losing my job and, experiencing, like many people, hundreds of thousands of people are going through periods of deep personal and professional transition, job displacement. And as a coach, looking at thousands of other individuals like me, living lives of public service, working either for the government or for implementers, contractors, nonprofits, et cetera, we really looked at how can we support individuals navigating these transitions. And as a coach, looked at my network of coaches and lots of different coaching groups I'm part of, including yours, and just put out a call on LinkedIn and said, hey, who wants to essentially raise their hand to provide pro bono coaching to thousands of displaced workers? And again, this is not a partisan movement. It's not a political effort. It's really about humanity and about supporting, who are we if we don't support people? And as coaches, this is our calling. And so it really overwhelmed me. We have almost 3,000 coaches who signed up, right, showing that their own commitment to service, to giving back, and wanting to be part of something positive. I think, again, looking at the world right now, there are a lot of things that don't feel aligned with our values and who we are, that don't feel good. There is a lot of dysregulation in the water, in our politics, in the way we consume information. And so we saw ourselves essentially as an antidote, as a way of, a container that could hold people, help people ground, build their own individual and collective resilience, as with coaching as a starting point, right? So coaches signed up, they offer three free coaching sessions. And then we had thousands of displaced workers from essentially every government agency, all of these implementing organizations, as well as universities and nonprofits. I mean, it's an incredible array of people that are life-saving scientists, FEMA first responders, humanitarians, and this is a global community of people, both coaches and our displaced workers. They are from around the world, and this became a social movement. Right, that started with coaches as essentially the fertilizer and the container to nurture and help people clarify. So, who am I? What's possible now? How do I not just become numb and stuck and frozen in this transition, but look at it as an opportunity to clarify my values, my vision, my strengths, my purpose? And so now we're on a journey. We went from this passion project led by a number of displaced workers like myself into really thinking about what is possible here. And so we have lots of other offerings we're developing, group coaching, creating an incubator that's really going to support the future of international development and public service more broadly. And so we're really just trying to see what's possible. I think we're 5 months in and have just started to formalize as a tax-exempt entity, as a team. We still haven't paid ourselves. We're working towards that. But I would say this has created just such a groundswell, not just the people who are benefiting, we would think of as the workers, which have overwhelmingly felt, I think, transformed by this, but the coaches. And the way I say this, and this is a long answer, but I often say things like love and hope are not nouns but verbs. And love is something, if we need something to pour into, we need an object of our love, or that love becomes a suppressed energy. right? And this is why when we lose people in life, grief becomes unexpressed love, and we don't have a place for it to go. We've created a container for people to pour in essentially their love and their hope and build something that's different from, I think, what we're seeing overwhelmingly around us. That's the power, I think, of what we're creating.
Yeah, I want to explore a bit later about what is possible. You mentioned that. But first, could you say a little bit more about what you've seen happen? You're connecting coaches with displaced workers. What kind of things are happening? I know you're also connecting coaches with, well-known thought leaders and
That's right.
trainers. I also did a session for you guys, and I thought it was just an incredible experience. And I can share more about that later.
Sure.
But yeah, what's been happening? What are you seeing happen?
And I do want to pause here if I can, because Joel, you've been very influential in my life. I think it was the 2022 summit that you and Coaches Rising organized that connected me to some of my teachers, Thomas Huber, Nicholas Yanni. I did long courses with both of them and have become aware of so many other people and have listened to your podcast, attended some of your programs. But I have to say to the audience, the folks listening, if they don't know, because they might know you like me as somebody who interviews and is presencing great, thoughtful people, you're also a wonderful coach. And so having you come in and speak with our group, and we've had Thomas, we've had Amy Elizabeth Fox from Mobius and Otto Scharmer, Jennifer Garvey Berger, lots of individuals, thought leaders that your community would know. But you also came in and did such a masterful job at just presencing in terms of the process, not content necessarily, but the process of transformational coaching. And we had overwhelming, great feedback from that. And so, yes, we've had a number of sessions that are both resourcing our coaches, because if we're really honest, this is a different moment. And what we're trying to do is different. This isn't a traditional career transition that we're going through. This is a collective trauma. And so we wanted to work with Thomas, you, Amy, and others to really create a curriculum and an experience that would resource our coaches to navigate and help accompany people navigating this transition and this complexity more effectively. That's why we had all of these sessions. And in parallel, we have a lot of content, resourcing and skill development sessions for our displaced workers, which are focused on building resilience, on collective futures, but also on the more practical and tactical elements about career, using AI and LinkedIn, right? Resumes, interviewing, working with recruiters, because that's the reality of where these folks are. I say it this way. I mean, if you look at kind of Maslow's hierarchy, and the pyramid, the folks in our network are navigating both the base of the pyramid, the kind of core needs, and the top, because it is about their identity and their self-actualization, because these are individuals whose entire lives were anchored in purpose. And so how they pivot with purpose is going to be critical, not just meeting those base core needs, but so understanding alignment, and creating this sense of clarity in wherever they go is a core part of it. So yeah, we have these sessions, we have the coaching experience. I would say we've created a community. It's people who, are wanting to and needing to grieve and process and figure out what this means, like making sense of it. And this is what's hard about us, is we have all of this data because thousands of people have signed up with us. And every week it's a different agency or it's a different sector that's affected. And you kind of get a pulse and a sense of what's going on in our country and the world, and by who's in our network and who's signing up and how people are responding. And so I think ultimately on the coaching side, people want to give back. The reason they're doing this is they are service aligned, and they see that Grounded Idealist, our organization, fills essentially a values aligned gap that we don't see in a lot of the other, the news or what's going on right now. And so while we want to help people get jobs, that's not our core purpose. It is the grounding, the aligning, the building of resilience, the building of community, so we can reimagine, right, a future together and help incubate and nurture those futures that we're essentially seeding with this movement.
And what have you noticed with the people that have lost their roles? What's the impact of them of being able to come in and receive coaching? And I know that might in some way be a difficult question to answer. It's very unique to each person.
Yeah.
But are you getting a sense of feedback from them?
We do. We actually just finished a whole series of focus groups. We have feedback forms. Some of the data is shared on our LinkedIn and our website. But yeah, overwhelmingly, let me say it this way, just stepping back from the question is most people who are signing up for coaching with us have never worked with a coach. And so they also saying that as coaches, a lot of times we know that people don't know what coaching is or what to expect. And so when you're in this acute crisis, a lot of people again go to that base of the pyramid. And so what they want is essentially a career counselor. And so we have to step back and do some education about what coaching is and say, we're not career counselors, we're not therapists, we're not consultants, and all of those things are wonderful, but this is what coaching is, right? We're going to help you tap into your own inner wisdom, your own truth to clarify and align and deepen within you what's going on, the processing, the visioning. And so that's been hard. At times, people come in and we've had to get them to slow down, right? To sort of back up. I think Nicholas and Thomas use similar language, but it's this idea of that the doing needs to come from the being, right? And if we're at this repetition compulsion, if we're engaged overwhelmingly in the doing and we are reacting and not grounding and responding to this moment, then it's a disservice to our spirit, to the emergent properties in us, because we need to stop. We need to say, oh, wait, am I implementing expired dreams? Is this still true for me that I wanted to be doing XYZ? And so, by and large, again, the data is hard in aggregate to kind of sum up because we're talking thousands of people. But I think people feel more resilient. Overwhelmingly, they feel more grounded and able to process. That means dealing with anger. That means dealing with sadness. That means also naming the things that they're feeling without just suppressing them, which we know becomes frozen energy that's inaccessible potential in us. But then it's a lot of I'll say it this way, as somebody who's both a coach and dedicated my life to this service-oriented work, we're often helping other people. This is right. We are a type. We are an archetype. Coaches often fall into this category as well. Like we are orienting our entire energy outside. And so what we're encouraging these individuals to do is to ground and to give back to themselves some of this, right? And to help them understand how beautiful and powerful their story is, and how they can kind of, and I'll say it, also this point I think is important to say, and it's a little different from your question, but we ask people, we do live events, we do online events, and we often ask people, how happy were you in your last job? And I would say half of the people in our community weren't happy in their last job. And that is important to name because when it's taken away from you, you all of a sudden romanticize, attach, probably, forget some of the harder parts. But that is helping to build agency and clarity about, oh, wait. And I think this is overwhelmingly true, regardless of the agency or the sector. A lot of us wanted things to reform. We wanted to see ourselves in different, empowered roles, embodied roles. And okay, so if we do that and we reframe this moment as an opportunity, what is possible? What's the new dream, right? You might be not looking at your dream job immediately. It might be a survival job because that's a reality. But as you're doing that survival job, what is the dream? And in the past, what's the thing that's been getting in the way of that dream? And so slowing down, looking at our limiting beliefs, our core belief architecture, our patterns, the stories we tell ourselves that are getting in the way of the things we want and try to create in our lives. So coaching does that. And so we've received tremendous feedback. I mean, our coaches are wonderful people. They're incredibly active and they want to give back. They want to be part of, again, apolitically, but a social movement that is part of healing and restoring and repairing, and really building agency and empowerment within people. People are so hungry for this right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm so inspired by with this, in that at Coaches Rising, we've often said coaches can play a role in our times, helping us navigate these times. And I'm just delighted to see coaches responding in this way, meeting people who've experienced this rupture in their lives, that coaching, not just as a kind of form of way of being that humans can embody, is being as being gifted or brought to people in need in this sense. And that just touches me. And that what you're saying now, it just seems like also right now, one of the key roles a coach can play is what you're describing, really, is like to be able to meet the sense of dysregulation that is caused by the disruption that's happening in the world. And you could extend that to all of us, really. You only have to look at the news, and right now it's like day by day things unfolding that, one of my main practices is just like being in touch with my nervous system, my attachment system getting activated, and being able to meet that with compassion and love. And it's a dojo in a way. So that there's that kind of changing role of a coach in being able to hold space to meet grief in the way that you're talking, that I think is important to underline here. And that also, if I zoom out, there is this sense of an evolutionary tension at play, which is like having people sort of look at their lives and go, hey, I wasn't actually that happy in my work, and what is this an invitation into? And there's an evolution of consciousness on a more collective scale taking place, including even the birth of the collaborative that you've created. That's an entity that didn't exist 6 months ago that now exists in the world in response to what's emerging. And that has embedded within it, these beautiful values and frequencies of consciousness that
That's
so I'm struck by a certain, whilst it's devastating, there's a kind of certain poetry to it as well.
right. There is, if we allow ourselves to feel that, right? I would say it this way. There is a beautiful tension, almost a dance playing out right now. Most of us are embedded in an outcome that I think prevents us from seeing the bigger dance. But I would say it this way, and it's a painful dance. It's not always easy, but there's an unfreezing, an unthawing of centuries of trauma, right? Colonialism, racism, sexism, pain stored in the bodies, stored in the permafrost of our really epigenetically our human lineage that's happening right now, that's unfreezing that because consciousness is emerging and becoming right to this sort of tipping point of normalization. At the same time, there's an asymmetric vertical development happening. And so some of us are choosing to restore and become more embodied at a time that new trauma is being created, new scar tissue is being created. And so there are competing forces right now. That's the dance that I feel, is we are becoming more attuned to all of these things, trying to do the deep integration work that is way, I mean, we're talking hundreds of years. That's not been done. Thomas talks beautifully about this, the context of intergenerational trauma. And at the same time, we can't deny that as that, permafrost unfreezes and thaws, we don't have the resources to hold the collective, right, feeling of all of the trauma. We don't know what to do. We're trying to navigate. And then at the same time, there are new waves of trauma. Depending on what week it is, it's new conflicts, it's protests, it's popular uprising, it's all kinds of fits and starts I would say like old systems are holding on, like flashing red signs of the old ways of doing things are trying to hold on, but they won't, right? We are up against these deep evolutionary planetary edges of life wanting to move forward and to advance in ways that are more regenerative, more sustainable, more grounded, more interdependent. But there's a lot that we're up against, and we have to recognize that dance and to name it, right? We can't simply name, we often talk about a trauma response as a form of intelligence, which helps to humanize it and allow us to feel not stigma and judgment around our own trauma. But that's at the planetary level as well. We have to name that these terrible systems are somehow trauma responses that we have to name and say, in some way, did these terrible things serve us planetarily, historically? I don't know, but they're baked into the system. They're baked into the fraying social fabric that we're up against. And what I say, and this is why the work we're doing is so important, if I can bring it back to this, is the people we most need to face these complex challenges, the public servants, the mission-aligned, mission-driven professionals, are the same ones that are being removed from their positions of influence and their ability to meet this moment of deep complexity, the meta crisis as we talk about it. And so that's why what we see as our work is so important. It's not just about helping people get back on their feet, although that's important. It's about rooting outer development and inner development and helping those that are in these beautiful positions of influence around our critical, most compelling social issues continue to have a role to play in helping us progress to make our lives safer, our water and air more drinkable, our environment, everything that we care about. Those are the people in our network that we're trying to help. And so, but this a dance. This isn't an inevitable progression that we're going to be up against, right? Dr. King said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Coaches answer that question, right? King also said, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. That's what we're doing, is creating a container for infinite hope that allows us to support other people that happen to be those public servants. Right. At a time when public service as an entire norm organizing our society is eroding, right? The things that make us better, that create deeper senses of belonging and interdependence, is how we show up for other people and how we serve. And we need more opportunities to do that. And I think we're one, we're a con, you know, part of this constellation, right? What we call these islands of coherence. We're one of those islands of coherence, providing opportunities for people to pour in their hope.
I think those islands of coherence are so important because of the capacity within those islands, you know. So I
Yes.
noticed in that session that you named that I did with you, you know, the beauty of it in a way was that people were just coming forth to share themselves so beautifully and coherently. Well, I would say maybe even in their incoherence, there was a beauty about the truth and depth of their hearts from where they were speaking, and that inside of that process there was a kind of cohering taking place. And my
Sure.
sense is that that's where in these communities we can come back into a sense of exploration, a sense of possibility, and then create initiatives that can, you know, impact the world. And I'm wondering about that for you because, you know, there's unintended consequences. If you think about when the China invaded Tibet and then all the Tibetans were displaced, but actually that proliferated Tibetan Buddhism around the world in a way that it wouldn't have before. Do you see possible, you know, and maybe this is getting back to the what is possible question. Do you see that there are possibilities for these people who have been displaced, but have all this expertise and sense of purpose to create new initiatives or come together in ways that, you know, may create something that was unintended but has a positive impact? Like, is that taking place even? Yeah.
I think it is. I think we're in. I think our organization and our movement has realized that we're pivoting from an emergency response, right? In my work, international development, we talk about different phases. For example, I was in Haiti for a couple of years after the earthquake in 2010. The first phase is the emergency response, the humanitarian response. And then that can't last forever. It shouldn't last forever, right? We need to move into a space of recovery. And then hopefully regenerative programs, sustainable development. That's the arc that we hope for. As a program, right, we have been in a sprint of emergency response, and now we're trying to recalibrate, slow down. This is a marathon. How do we take care of ourselves? How do we take care of our people, our coaches, so that we can be fit for purpose for a longer term, right, effort? So that's just context. I would say it's part of what I was saying before, in that I hope the outcome, and this is part of what I've tried to bring into my work and why I moved from being an implementer only to being a coach. Because again, going back to the question, how happy were you in your last job? And a lot of people said, eh, not so happy. There were things, and that's most of us. That's not just our sector, that's any sector. And there are lots of reasons for that. But I think people are looking for, and what we believe is important is, like I said, the outer change that we're seeking has to be rooted in our own inner work. Because what was happening, and why I became a coach and a facilitator, was there was a deep dysregulation that was being transmitted. Go back to Haiti or Burundi. I was there during the Civil War, other parts of West Africa. There, if you're delivering humanitarian assistance, you're engaging in partnerships with community around any issue, any sector. If what I'm doing is undermined by my transmission, right, unintegrated trauma, my own baggage that these countries can ill afford to have, and I am transmitting dysregulation, that's a problem. Not to mention, a lot of these systems historically are neo-colonial, and we have to decolonize them, we have to localize them, we have to do all kinds of things different, which the people within them know, and we're actively working to create more inclusive, localized programs and systems. And so, what I think we want to do as we think about reimagining the future of these sectors is to have the leaders, the emerging leaders of them, be more trauma-informed, have deeper senses of self-contact and self-awareness, have an anchor in their own inner development as the key instrument for outer development. So we're not just jumping into the doing and the what, we're stopping with the how and the being, which is, how am I showing up? What, how, am I transmitting coherence and restoration in countries that are, affected by acute or chronic crises, conflicts, disasters? And so that's what we're trying to do, to essentially create a new programming, a new like coding for this entire system of public service. Because for me, that's what's been largely missing. That is at the core of the dysregulation. And we know, choose your issue, if you look outside at the world, the dysreg I mean, the issue comes from our own dysregulated system that is manifesting dysregulation, that is creating all of the conflicts, that is creating all of the inequities, right? The living out of sync with the natural environment, all the climate crisis that we deal with, all that is rooted in ourselves. None of it is outside of us. And so, how we show up into these discussions, into these moments, we are living out of balance with the planet. We are living in unsustainable ways. We are doing things that, the power balance has to completely shift with how we engage with other countries, in particular the global south. So that's what we're trying to kind of build and embed within the future as we incubate, the future of public service.
Do you just going back to your point of, people coming in and at first, kind of wanting career guidance, career counseling, but then being invited maybe to slow down or into their, interior. Have you found that people are like open to that and, are when they do it, they start to go, oh, like, oh, right. What's your sense around that?
My sense is overwhelmingly yes. We have a system we've created on the back end that essentially tries to do vetting, sorting, and matching of coaches and clients at scale, because we're talking thousands of people. And that system, we're at now, we're 97, 98% successful. Very few come back and say, and the few who come back and say, I need a different coach, it's because they want a career counselor. But what that says is the 97, 98% who we say, trust the process, trust, the magic of unexpected connections, because we can't do heavy matching. We don't have the capacity to do that. We have our own beautiful system that does it to a good extent. We have humans that vet all the matches. But overwhelmingly, people are trusting the process. And coaches know, by the agreements they sign, because of their training, they know how to meet people and expand the container, right? I look at coaching often as a nest. And if you think of sort of a person within the nest, you want to be just a little bit bigger than that person. You want to be able to expand, but you don't want to be a huge nest if somebody's like tight, like contracted. And so meeting them where they are, but with a little space to grow and expand. All of our coaches know that. They know how to meet people and expand. If they're contracted, they know how to get them to expand, right? If they're grieving, they know. And we also, we know what are our limits as coaches and how we need to refer out because this is a clinical issue that I'm not capable. And there is trauma. And so we want our coach to be more trauma-informed, but also know the boundaries of their own expertise and of coaching as a profession. But in general, I would say the people who sign up for coaching to be coached, yeah, they're so grateful that it's a total mindset shift for a lot of them, into trusting themselves, into loving themselves, and to embracing this, this transition in a different way. So it's not just this, kind of scarcity mindset, this overreactive, system. But again, that's hard because people feel, and again, without getting political, people feel targeted. They feel like, oh, I was doing what I loved. I studied for years. We have PhDs, we have judges, we have assistant secretaries, we have CEOs in our network, very senior people who've done this for 20, 30, 40 years, and this is all they know. And suddenly, it's not just they've lost a job, they've lost a sector. It's existential. It's like, wait, I thought this was the best of us as a country and the world. And now we're saying that this is not who we are. And then again, because of the political swirl, there's like a persecution of some of these individuals who felt so aligned with their values. And so you have to also hold them there so they don't just abandon their mission and their purpose. Because that's a dangerous prospect, is if all these beautiful people who are driven by a purpose suddenly say, oh, wait, this is not safe anymore. I need to go do something that's, with more risk aversion as opposed to possibility. We don't want that. People have to make a choice based on what's best for them and their families, but we want people to double down on public service, to say, no, we need this more now than ever. And so you have to take people based on their risk tolerance, based on what they're able to do and what they need, but support them. And so I think overwhelmingly it's been positive and it's helped people step again more into the integration of where they are. And I would say in the first couple months, it was a lot of grieving. It was a lot of anger. And now it's sadness and right. And creating the alignment of, okay, well, what do I want next? Because the reality is, and the reason we're creating this incubator idea, which coaches will be part of, to do group coaching around people and that are aligned around issues and want to build the future of these sectors, is there aren't a lot of jobs. And so even when you come out of that and you feel more resilient and you feel more clear, then you look at the job market and you're like, oh, damn. There are now 10,000 of us applying for one job. And so the reality is we're going to have to create a lot of these jobs. And that's why we're trying to create opportunities for people who do want to become social entrepreneurs, et cetera.
That kind of brings up that question of what you see as being possible here. And we touched in before we started recording about the disruption in the workforce in the US is one issue, but there are many issues, of course, around the world that may actually be benefit from this kind of approach. What do you see as possible right now? What's your vision for where you might take this if you have a sense of that?
Again, they're kind of two sides. There's the coaching side and what we see, because coaches are not just sort of an instrument, they're also a direct kind of beneficiary of our energy. And I think, I mean, we coaching also as an industry, I think a lot of coaches feel like needs to continue to evolve, right? I would say moving in the direction of being more trauma-informed is important given what we're experiencing, what I talked about earlier, the sort of thawing of collective and intergenerational trauma. I think grounding more in inner development, there are different, perspectives around vertical development. I think that's a critical piece of coaching. And so in general, what I want to see on this side of the house, we say it, what I would like for the future of our work is for coaching to be more, have a higher subscription essentially from people who do social change work. And like I said in the beginning, we have thousands of people, overwhelmingly very few of them have ever worked with coaches. And so we as coaches also have to work with people who can pay us and how we can build a living. And that's hard, particularly for new coaches. But how can we normalize coaching within social sectors or public sectors or nonprofits or let's be provocative, with armed groups, with non-traditional actors that also are deep agents of change, whether it's positive or negative, disproportionately affect the future and the sort of equilibrium of our society. How can we bring coaching as a resource, an incredibly power transformative resource, into those spaces? Again, played a small part in that, trying to do that within the US government, within nonprofits. This is a huge indicator for me that coaches want to give back and they want to be part of social change, not just at the individual level, but the collective. So what does that look like? What does it look like for coaching to be a force for good in a collective sense? How could it be deployed as an intervention after a natural disaster, after conflicts, during conflicts? So we're not just talking mediators, we're not just talking peace builders, which I am one, but also coaching as a resource. And how can we reimagine what coaching looks like as a critical intervention, right? A targeted intervention with specific skill sets to expand us in these contracted moments of history.
Before, because I imagine there's more you might want to add, but I just
Sure,
want to pick
please.
up on this. Like, what do you? Because you've been in some of these places where there's been, a disruption, disaster events, whatever. So, could you say what you see as the potential for coaches being there? You know, maybe traditionally we might even think of, I don't know if it would be therapists, but trauma responders, medical trauma responders, of course. But what do you see as the potential role of a coach in those kind of moments? Yeah. Maybe it's already what we've been talking about,
Yeah, I think it's the same. I mean, we know whether it's C-suite, Fortune 100, 500, the same challenges are faced by people across the world, including in sort of moments of deep transition, like conflict, natural disaster, social upheaval. And when we're in those moments, we are reacting and contracted. We are not always expanded and clear and future-oriented and resourced and tapping into our inner wisdom, our collective wisdom. We're not thinking about the future of our. And so what a time to to pause and to slow down. What would it look like? Because yeah, a lot of similar to coaching, I've worked in 30, 40 countries. Therapy is not a resource. Mental health is often stigmatized. Coaching is undervalued, but therapy is not often a resource that people have in places of conflict, crisis, and upheaval. And so, different people, traditional elders, grandmothers, there are all kinds of great examples of who steps in to fill those gaps. But coaching is this, I mean, let's build a movement. Let's normalize doing our own inner work and relate it to the dysregulation happening in our communities and say, oh, the starting point is actually not outside, it's inside. It's not just like sitting with two groups and negotiating. It's definitely not, armed conflict, which I call, a shortcut to creative problem solving, which is we often devolve into violence because we don't have the creative resources to think nonviolently. We talk about that separately. But let's think about, oh, what happens if we slow down? What happens if we bring in these skilled, like acupuncture, type skilled coaches that can help reframe, ground, deepen, that would be amazing. And then we start to look at all this stuff on the outside is really just a symptom, a manifestation of the inner stuff, which is the root cause and the resource of our collective dysfunction. So I think there's a beautiful opportunity that I don't see it happening. There, we overwhelmingly kind of have to go with our own set, our means. We have to find resources as coaches, we have to get paid as facilitators. But if we normalize it, we built this into program budgets, we normalize this within bigger decision making, what could that look like as a resource? Not just for those who can afford it, but where is it most needed? If coaches, as we're finding, want to give back, want to be part of community, not just the one-on-one, because coaching is very lonely. We're doing these one-on-one sessions. They're confidential. We don't talk a lot. Coaches are so happy that we have a community. It's the same with Coaches Rising. It's this big, beautiful community. So let's leverage that, move people, and give them opportunities to give back and be of deep transformational use, where coaching is so underrepresented and we see the highest return on investment. I think that's a powerful, proposition.
Yeah, beautiful. I actually makes me think of in a moment asking you about would you like to make a call out to anyone listening who maybe would be a good connection for you. But is there anything about the sense of what's possible that you haven't named yet that you'd love to speak into?
Yeah, so I can speak to both of those. So we definitely still are looking for coaches. For better or worse, our community of displaced workers is growing. It's not just the United States that's affected. We see a lot of the multilateral system, the United Nations, agencies being affected. Obviously, lots of other organizations around the world that are connected to either U.S. government or UN or other agencies. We see lots of contraction of funding by partner countries in Europe. And so that has effects on jobs, both in their countries and around the world. And so anyway, that this is going to continue to be a reality of deep seismic shifts in the workforce. And then there are other things happening too, like AI, which are going to continue to reduce and shift jobs and create job displacement. And so I think we want to hold as much as we can for as long as we can. So we definitely are looking for coaches, and our website is groundedidealist.co. And there's an easy kind of sign up form and process for coaches who want to sign up. It's for 3 pro bono sessions initially. And then beyond that, like I said, we have group coaching and other offerings that we're developing. Just the short answer to the second part of your question about what's possible with our workers, it's mostly what we already talked about. I think we want workers to feel resourced. We want them to feel really more aligned, more connected, more embodied. That they, however, wherever they go, and there's no wrong answer. If they open a flower shop, if they pivot to the private sector, if they go to local government instead of federal, if they go into philanthropy or they become a teacher, these are all things we're seeing, and they're all beautiful, like responses and ways of pivoting and giving back their skills. And we just want to help them. We want to help them figure out their dream, right? Deepen the clarity. And to help them feel more restored so that how they move is more self-regulated and continues to be anchored in whatever that current dream and vision for their life is. And we hope part of that is, it could be 3%, it could be 5%, we don't know how many, is really thinking about the future of these sectors and spaces that they've dedicated their lives to and how they want to be part of reimagining them. That's part of where we see our role. So it's part training, coaching, workforce development. It's part social movement and social incubator, right? Really embedding consciousness within the future of public service. And I think that's critical now more than ever. We're seeing the unraveling of the old ways of doing things, but they're not going to happen on their own. We need conscious leaders driving and supporting and nurturing and all different levels and roles, the future, our collective future.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I do hope coaches listening to this come to you and feel inspired to offer their services. And I just want to reflect back again, like how inspired I am to see this initiative and what it stands for and the impact it's having. It's like I really feel excited to see how it unfolds because it does feel like that kind of the unintended consequences kind of thing of like what will emerge out of this? What flourishing may emerge out of this sense of disruption? So, and I think that's beautiful because that's what coaching and for me it really stands for is like, yeah, it's kind of taking a stance for a sense of possibility. So yeah, Kyle, I don't know if there's anything you'd love to share to end with. I mean, you've made a beautiful call there. And did you name the URL of the website? I think you just
Yeah,
did, but
it's groundedidealist.co.co, and we have a LinkedIn page, and you can engage with us there. I think I want to say this too. One is to thank you. You've built this beautiful model for us of an engaged global community committed to elevating consciousness, elevating the practice of coaching. And so we are happy with to learn from you, to continue to explore collaboration, content partnerships. We have so many ideas. And I'm my approach to all of this is deep collaboration. We call it a coaching collaborative. We alone are not going to fix anything. We're going to do our part, but this is a constellation of actors, and we have seen so many great, groups form organically out of this moment of kind of collapse and upheaval. And we have lots of great partnerships that we benefit from, learn from, work with. And we also, both to you, Coaches Rising, but also anyone listening, there are so many talents and skills that we could benefit from, whether it's new content, new programs to bring for either coaches or displaced workers. And I think there's a lot of things we simply don't even know yet that we're just trying to kind of hold the emergence of this movement and are excited to do it with other people because there are so many synergies that we will find together.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, thank you, Kyle, so much.
Thank you, Joel.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. And a reminder that the early bird enrollment is now open for our upcoming live training with Jim Dethmer and Bob Anderson. It's called Unlocking Leaders, and it's going to teach you how to coach at the level of consciousness, which is for me the highest leverage move you can make as a coach. Your client's consciousness is the place where the deepest, truest transformational breakthroughs come from. And often traditional coaching misses this. And it's something that our clients need us to learn as coaches. Because our times are calling for something deeper. We've got to go beneath the content of our experience, beneath strategy, to the source of change. And that's exactly what Unlocking Leaders is designed to teach you. I'm so proud of this program, of what it's become. I feel it's our offering in these times. And if you're ready to answer the call of these times, then you can join the full program. So just head to coachesrising.com/leaders to book your spot. And remember, you can get the early bird discount if you join by 29th of May. Here we are. We're at the end of the podcast. Just a heads up again. If you're not on our mailing list and you want to stay in the loop about other things we create, then head to coachesrising.com. Put your name in the sign up box there. You'll also find some of our other offerings, our online trainings for coaches there. And just want to end by wishing you well. And I'll see you again next time.